Welcome to the Mum Boss Podcast, hosted by me, Renee O'Neill. I'm your host, life and business coach for mums, and a mum of two myself. I'm here to help you be the present mum you're wanting to be, whilst also having a successful business, because you can have both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You have come to the right place if you're a mum who dreams of time and financial freedom and wants to be fulfilled in life alongside motherhood. This podcast is a place where you can come to be inspired and empowered whilst also getting tangible tips, advice, and strategies to help you in your life and business. So let's dive in. Today on the Mum Boss Podcast, I am bringing you another incredible guest. And this guest is very exciting to me because Bianca is somebody who I have connected with. And what is special about her is she actually lives local to me, which doesn't happen very often at all. And often when I connect with somebody, even if they live in Australia, they tend to live in Perth, WA, which I don't know what it is about Perth people, but I seem to be attracted to them and vice versa. But Bianca is a local Tassie girl. Well, not born and raised, but she's now a Tassie girl. So welcome, Bianca, to the Mum Boss Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Renee. Yeah, no, not born and raised.
No. So Bianca, I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself, what it is you do, and I guess what brought you to Tassie as well.
Okay, so I actually wear a lot of different hats. Where do I start? I started in marketing, working in marketing, and then when I started my own business, people kept asking me, can you help me with this and can you help me with that? Social media, email marketing, and at some point I seemed to have rolled into Facebook advertising. So I've become known for Facebook advertising mostly. And then I moved to Tassie. About two years ago. What brought us here? We always loved Tassie. We traveled here a few times. My sister-in-law lives down in Hobart, so she's been here for a while. And we always thought, oh, it'd be so cool to live in Tassie. Like, it'd be so nice to live in Tassie. But we always thought, oh, it's not going to happen because it's pretty tricky for my husband to find a job. He's in a very specialized kind of field. And we just thought it was not going to happen. There was not going to be any jobs. And then a job came up in Penguin of all places. And he applied. I'm pretty sure like 2 weeks later we had a board house. And he'd got the job, we bought a house, and everything was set into motion. It was all during COVID, which is really hard as well because we couldn't sell our house until we were out of lockdown. It was a pain in the ass. But we got here, and so he works in Penguin. Funny enough, we had never traveled to the northwest of Tasmania, so we moved here sight unseen. Well, we have some friends who so my husband went to primary school with someone who literally lives 2 minutes from us. They had moved to Tasmania a long time before us, but they did the inspection of the house. We bought the house. Anyway, that was really cool. And then when I moved into like the Tassie space in a way, after my son was born, because the first year I didn't really do much. I couldn't even, at least the first trimester, I couldn't even unpack boxes. I was like, no, I can't do this. I started going to some networking events, and in my local council, well, the two local councils, Latrobe and Kentish, they had this launch event for some business organization that they set up, and I saw some speakers there and I was like, oh, how can I be part of this? Like, I really want to be part of this. So I kind of got my foot in there, and I also became a marketing mentor for a program that is funded by the federal government. So, like, while I'm known for Facebook advertising in the local area, I'm more known for helping people with their marketing and whatever that marketing question can be. So, like, I feel like I wear two hats in a bit. So that was a really long story. Sorry.
I love it, though, because it's always interesting to hear people's stories and like what led them to where they are. And, you know, for you, you do wear a lot of hats because you're also a mum to two little ones as well.
Yes, my daughter is five and my son, he's still 17 months. In about a week, he's like 18 months. So yeah, little, very little.
And navigating business and for you also moving with children isn't easy to do, is it?
No, not at all. I actually found out I was pregnant with my son the day we sailed to Tasmania. Which is, it was a blessing because we've been trying for a while. I had a few miscarriages as well. And we were about to not necessarily start IVF, but at least we had some appointments to get some assistance. And then, yeah, the day we sailed, I found out, which is interesting because it was me and my daughter sailing. My husband was already here. Business, I have to say it didn't really happen much at least the first trimester. I wasn't overly sick. I just had no energy. So it was, yeah, a new house, being pregnant, like a daughter that hadn't started daycare yet here because we hadn't really found a daycare yet. The two dogs I had to settle in. We had boxes and boxes everywhere. And yeah, no, it just didn't happen. So I think it was about...
Understandably, I think we should mention here because that is a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. Definitely don't recommend moving your business. But all up, I think it took about 6 months to sort of start getting back into things. I still had clients, so I did, you know, what I had to do, the minimum, but that was kind of it.
And I think that's a really important key part is when you have a lot of things going on in your life, sometimes you need to revert the business into the bare minimum, or what I like to refer to it as those bare non-negotiables only, because sometimes life takes over. And especially when you're a mom or you're dealing with pregnancies or moving house in your case, or moving states, I should say, it can be a lot. And so sometimes it's really helpful just to do those non-negotiables only in your business. And I guess for you, one of those things would have been your client work.
Yes, I literally just did my client work. I didn't have a huge client load, and deliberately. So yeah, I just focused on the client work. I actually had one client at the time and it actually became too much. So I had a chat with them. I said, look, I think you might need to find someone else because this is where I'm at. And I just explained it to them and they were like super understanding. They found a new ads manager. I did a handover with them, which is normally doesn't really happen. Like ads managers don't really talk to each other. but yeah, I was like, okay, I can't handle this. So yeah, I handed some clients over to someone else. And then I just focused on settling in. I feel like it's a little bit of a blur though. Like if I think back now, it's probably because blur when my baby was born. It was, yeah. I do remember being not depressed, but I sat here on numerous occasions looking out the window going, why is it raining so much?
And I guess for people that haven't been to Tasmania before, it does rain quite a bit here.
Yeah.
And when it's winter, it is incredibly cold here. So it's just a different weather situation than a lot of parts of Australia, I feel.
It definitely is. And we moved in June, July. So it's like the worst of it. And I'm pretty sure that was like one of the wettest years as well, like 2021. Actually, the year after was pretty wet too. So, but I'm used to it now. Like you get a few rainy days and then you get quite a few nice sunny days. But I do remember that year, it's raining so much and just not having my support network or my friends around. I didn't ever have the kind of like the why did we move kind of feeling. It was just I just felt like a fish out of water. I just said, I don't know. Like moving is one thing, but yeah, moving interstate. And it's strange because I actually moved from another country to Australia. But I don't know, maybe just everything's just different when you have kids, I guess. So,
and I think that's the thing. It's like, that's a lot of change at once. And especially when you're about to embark on being a mum of two, you've moved, you know, to a new place where you don't have that support network. Plus you're trying to run a business. that's a lot of different puzzle pieces to be, you know, putting together. And I guess for you, you've obviously gotten to that place where you've climatized, you know, you're used to our weather now, and you've found your footing in regards to business locally as well. You know, you've found your people, you've found your community and your network. And now you have this incredible business that, I mean, you had it before as well, but you've built upon as you've been here and as the children are getting that little bit older now, and you've really found your footing. So I guess when it comes to marketing, where are the areas we go wrong? Because quite often I hear people talk about marketing, and I mean, the term in itself is such a broad thing. Marketing can mean, well, it doesn't exactly mean many different things, but you know, when we think marketing, some people automatically think social media, some people think emails, some people think, you know, an advertising agency. Like, there are all different thoughts that come to our mind when we think marketing. But when we're running a business, we need marketing so we can market our services, our products, what it is that we're selling. But where do we go wrong?
Yeah, it's a really, 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 really big umbrella, the marketing umbrella. I actually don't really think that people go wrong. I just think that there are so many marketing tactics and ways to market yourself that it's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming for people. So I don't necessarily think we go wrong. I do have some thoughts on certain things, but I honestly think people just get overwhelmed. Like, they will. The other thing is, I think the expectations versus the reality. Like, you know, oh, I've posted on Instagram or Facebook 3 times. Why am I not getting any clients? Yeah. expectations versus reality. It takes a long time. Like, building a business, I know when we follow other people, it makes it look like they've got it all together, that, you know, they're getting clients, they're sharing all their things. They are not people that have gone into business like last week. It takes time to build relationships. And I, like I said, I don't think there's any wrong. I just think that sometimes there's a faster way and a slower way. And we have, you know, our phones and we have our computers and we can hide behind our keyboards and put posts up and things like that. But nothing beats personal connection. The fastest way to get, at least in service-based businesses, the fastest way to get clients is to actually connect, like, on a personal level. And that doesn't mean putting up like an Instagram post. That is not necessarily, you can do personal connection with that, but if you need clients now, you need to start meeting people and actually talking to people. So I don't think there's a wrong or like a right or a wrong. I just think that, yeah, expectations, sometimes you just, you might have the wrong expectation and it's just not going to happen. And you'll be like, oh, I see all these people posting this and this and this. And they're getting all the clients. I'm like, yeah, they've been building their brand. They've been building their business and their brand and their authority for a long time. Like, Instagram is great for building authority and showing, you know, that you're there. But when you need clients now, you need to talk to people. So yeah, I don't think there's a wrong. I just think that it comes down to expectations. What I have noticed, and I'm like a little bit worried to say this, but with a lot of Tasmanian businesses, they seem to only exist on Facebook or like a social media platform, and they don't have a website. And it partly makes me angry and it partly makes me sad. Because, well, one, it's really, when I first moved here, it's really hard to find people when you don't know what you're looking for. Like, you know, like, you need a certain service or you need a certain business and you're like Googling, just, you know, we Google a lot of this stuff and nothing comes up. And then I ask, you know, some friends who are in Tassie and they're like, yeah, this Facebook page. I'm like, I cannot find things based on a Facebook page. It's like, it doesn't come up in Google search results unless you type in the business name. I don't know the business name. I just know I need a certain service. So I get really frustrated with that. it was really hard when we first moved here. I was like, oh, do they not have blah, blah, blah? And other people are like, yeah, yeah, they do. And like all these Facebook pages get sent to me. And I'm like, this is a little bit of a worry with my marketing opinion. So yeah, website and then the power of email marketing. I think a lot of people just don't realize it. Some businesses don't necessarily need it. But yeah, the power of email marketing and automation and things like that. So there's easier ways to do things sometimes. And yeah, I'm sort of navigating my way through that while I'm doing this mentoring for Tassie businesses. So yeah, like, sorry, long story short, there is no wrong. As long as the only wrong there is if you don't talk about your business. If you literally go, I'll put up a website, and then you're like, I built it and they're not coming. And that's the only wrong. Other than that, as long as you talk about your business, you're marketing. So yeah.
I really love that you shared that though, because I think we see on social media so many people sharing that this is the way you build a successful business. No, this is. And like, sometimes it's like a deer in headlights. Like, I don't know what way to go. Like, there's just so many different opinions out there and strategies out there shared. And like you said, marketing tactics, but you know, as long as you're putting yourself out there, you are marketing yourself. But I love that you shared about being on more than one platform or marketing in more than one way, because I also see with clients that I work with that they have their social media, but that's it. There is no email list, there is no website or other avenues in which they're marketing themselves. And at the end of the day, we don't own our social media. So if Instagram or Facebook gets shut down tomorrow, that's your entire business gone if you are only utilizing those platforms to market your business. And so it is important to have these other things. And, you know, I don't know about you, but my personal opinion is you need to be on more than one platform or marketing in more than one way. But I don't think that there is a right way either, you know, where you have to be on Pinterest. No, you have to be doing this. I just think make sure that you marketing in different areas to really put yourself out there and expose yourself to the right audience as well, so that you can attract those clients or customers that you're wanting to.
Totally. And you kind of like hit that nail on the head. You need to be where your ideal clients are. Like, there's no point showing up on TikTok if your target market I'm not on TikTok. So if I'm your target market, I'm not on TikTok. Yeah, you need to be where your ideal client is. So you need to know that as well. And the other thing I find really important is you need to also do what aligns with you, with your values and with your capabilities. Like, you can learn anything, like really, you can learn anything. But if you are not excited to show up, like, for example, on Instagram Reels, then it's just not going to happen. And but you can't get that excitement from anywhere. And it will show. So don't do it if it's not what you want to do. If you're scared to show your face, it's a different reason. Like, if you are scared, like you want to do it, but you're scared, different. Like, you have to work on your mindset and look into that. But if you're like, oh, I really just can't be bothered to be on that platform, don't do it. Like, there's other ways. There are ways to get clients without being on social media. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but there are ways to get clients without social media. And I like to call it cheat, because sometimes I don't want to show up on Instagram or like on social media all the time. I'm like, I'm just going to pay to get leads. And, you know, like Facebook advertising, Instagram advertising, they're on the same platform. Sometimes I don't want to do the hard slog of organic leads because it takes a long time. I'm like, I'm just going to speed this up a bit. I'm a very impatient person, so it works for me. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm running some workshop. Let's just run an ad and get people into this workshop. I did one yesterday, and I had two people sign up the day before. Mm-hmm. They saw the ad in their Facebook feed and they went, okay, I need this. I'm going to go. So there are lots of ways to do certain things. If you don't want to show up on social media, then don't do it or outsource it. But yeah, so many options, but you need to be where your ideal client is.
Yeah, I really love that you shared that, because I am someone who doesn't love Facebook groups. And I used to have a Facebook group because I'm like, my ideal clients love Facebook groups. You know, mums in business love to be in a Facebook group, be in the community. And I kept showing up and I was like, I dreaded it to the point I actually hated it. And yeah. I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, I don't care if my ideal client's there. I'm not going to push through it because I genuinely do not enjoy showing up. And yeah. therefore, your energy is just different when you are showing up in a space you don't want to be in.
Pretty much.
I think it's really important that you did also touch on the fear side, because sometimes we say we don't want to do a certain thing, but it's more out of actual fear of perhaps showing up. And I think that's something I definitely see with my clients. They're like, I don't want to put myself on stories and have people see me and talk to the camera and all that. And I'm like, there's a fear mindset piece behind that.
Yeah.
Don't want to, it's you're scared to. And I think that's important to touch on. But ads, I would love to chat about this. And selfishly, there's a reason I want to chat about this. The first time I tested doing ads was earlier in the year. I wanted to do an ad for a lead magnet, which eventually would be going into me promoting my group coaching program.
Yeah.
And I followed the prompts, and I'm pretty sure I didn't do it correctly because my conversion wasn't great, and I just don't think I did it correctly. So I would love to know, how can we make doing ads simpler, other than, of course, investing in you to do it?
So one easy way to start with Facebook ads is to not boost. Don't boost. But it is like boosting. So you would put up an organic post on your Facebook and Instagram feed. But then instead of clicking boost, you're going inside the Ads Manager. And inside Ads Manager, you're going to turn that post into an ad. So there is a way to do that. I don't work that way, but if you're absolutely uncertain of what you're doing, the reason I say don't boost is because you don't have that many targeting options. There's just not, like, it's just not all there. So yeah, turning a post into an ad would be the easiest step, but you might still not get all the results that you want, because, for example, with a lead magnet, you'll have your landing page where people go to sign up. And then ideally you have a thank you page. So once people have signed up, it takes them to a separate page. And I'm saying separate page, not a pop-up box, not, they can't stay on the same page. On this separate page, you have to put tracking pixels, as Facebook calls them. So pixels, literally, they are like what we know from pixelated photos and stuff. Like, they're like tiny little snippets of code that you put on that page, and it talks back to Facebook, so it tracks what you're doing. So I generally run conversion campaigns, and I start all of that inside of Ads Manager. But if you're just starting out, turning a post into an ad properly, not boosting, would be the simplest step. It's just that, yeah, with ads come the word funnels. So you get it all deeper into it, and I don't really want to confuse anyone, but yeah, you would need a funnel. The other thing that you would need if you were running ads to a lead magnet is you need to have a proven lead magnet. You already have to have some signups and know that it actually is getting conversions. Ideally, you know how many conversions, and it will change a little bit depending on what kind of traffic you send to it, because usually when you share it with your social audience, it tends to be a warm audience. They know you, then they're going to sign up because they like it. Whereas when you run ads, you often start with a cold audience. They don't know you. The conversion will be a little bit different, but you should still see a conversion from that. So I feel like I'm going to talk like jargon a little bit, because I'm so in that ads world. But the main thing to know is that Facebook ads amplify. So it's going to amplify anything that is already happening. So if you're already getting signups, when you set it up and you set it up right, you should see more signups. If your business is not working, so if things are not working, don't invest in Facebook ads to try and fix your business, because it doesn't work. You're just going to amplify the problem and waste money. So yeah, there is no easy way to set up ads to answer your question.
And that's where, you know, outsourcing to someone like you is where it's helpful, because you can get that real expertise advice around how to do this, but also you can just hands off and be like, you know, can you set this ad up? Here's all what you need, and have it working for you. And I think also looking at, I guess, bang for your buck, it would be smart to invest in something like that as well, because otherwise you could do what I did and set up an ad thinking you've done it all correctly, followed all the things, and then find out actually it's not, one, it wasn't tracking the way I thought it was. It wasn't converting. You know, I basically wasted my money. I'd invested in the ads and didn't get any kind of return that I was expecting on them, which I guess I'd love to talk about that too, because I think sometimes what we invest and what we get back, I'd love to know what that often looks like in terms of Facebook and Instagram ads as well.
Yeah. So you might not have wasted money. Like I always say, it's not a waste of money. You get data. Generally, you get data. But the problem is you need to know how to read that data. So, and a lot of people don't know how to read that data. So for example, if you're running ads and you're getting lots of clicks, but you're not getting any conversions, you need to look at your landing page, because your landing page might not be converting, or you might be targeting the wrong audience. So like there's usually, I always say the data tells a story. It's just that people don't necessarily know what the story is. Some people get leads, but they don't get sales. I'm like, well, that tells me that there's not an issue with your ads, because the ads are bringing in leads. It tells me there's an issue further down in your funnel. It could be your sales emails. It could be your sales page. It could be your sales process. So like every single step will tell you. Like this is why people need to know their data. So you might not have wasted your money. You just probably have data that you might not be able to read. And also touching back on outsourcing, there is outsourcing. There is also learning with someone. So I do both. I do it for people. I tend to work with people who have a proven funnel. So that means that they have already had a couple of launches, or they've sold it and they know their numbers. They know that if they send 1,000 people through this funnel, they will get X amount back or close to that. Because they've been testing, they've been watching the numbers, they've been tweaking. It's like, okay, well, if I send, you know, 100 people, what do I get? If I send 1,000 people through my funnel, what do I get? And it's like knowing each of those steps. So I tend to work mostly with people that have proven funnels. But you can learn this stuff yourself as well. So I also do it's a DIY, but they have the option to have one-on-one calls with me, just to get my eyes on, you know, most of my students just have a call and they're, I'm thinking of doing this, what do you think, just like clarifying. And then some have been running ads and they're like, oh, can I show you my results and what do you think and what can we tweak? So I do that as well. But in terms of investment and getting back, it's really important to know those numbers up front, because it actually, Facebook ads are not magic. They are very predictable. If you know your funnel and you know the numbers in your funnel, it literally becomes predictable. And like, sure, there's still curveballs. We don't always know the cost per lead and what that's going to be and things like that. But I have one client, the cost per lead varies depending on what kind of ads we run. So we try to keep working on bringing the cost per lead down. But we know that when she runs a webinar, she gets between 14 and 19% conversion. We just know that. And that's a very high number for a webinar conversion. So we know that if we can just get a lot of people into the lead funnel and get them to attend the webinar live, which is another thing. It's not something I have anything to do with, but obviously I need to monitor that whole process. It's like, oh, like as many ways to get people to turn up live, and people tend to not turn up live. Like you might get 20-30% of your leads turn up live. And yeah, then having that conversion. The other thing is there's leads and there's leads. So if you have a lead magnet, it's like a PDF downloadable, like pretty easy kind of thing, versus a challenge or a webinar, the investment of the person signing up is very different, because you have to sign up for it. Like for a webinar, there's a lot more, like they're a lot more invested. They have to show up, they have to participate, especially if it's a challenge. Whereas if they download a PDF, they may not action it. You can't see that. You don't know that. It could end up in their, you know, digital shelf. So there's a lead and there's a lead. And you just need to understand that as well. There's so many parts that come into play with funnels and ads and things like that. And there's different businesses as well, different business models. So I'm talking mostly online course and group coaching type programs. But, you know, if you were running an Airbnb, you wouldn't need all of that. You would literally just showcase your accommodation and try to get people to book in that way. So different kind of ads, different kind of businesses, different funnels, different business models. There's so many different options that I think it can be confusing. And the other thing is, I don't know if anyone has ever tried to start an ad. There are options. You can do awareness, you can do reach, you can do conversion. And then under each of those are like different options again. So it is confusing. In my brain, it makes sense, which is hilarious because I never thought I would like have an analytical brain. But I can make sense out of certain data. It's like, oh, it tells me story. Like, and I can often see it straight away. It's like, yeah, that. but yeah, it is confusing. You just don't know what to click on. And that's why Facebook is making so much money from that blasted boost button, because that's easy for people, but it doesn't actually get you any results, because most of the time that is just an awareness ad. And if you're looking for sales, you need to run conversion ads, not awareness ads. Anyway, I'll get off my high horse.
It's good though, because there is a lot involved, and I think it is worth getting help around it if you are wanting to do ads, whether that be you know, go on Google, you watch YouTube videos, you know, you follow people to get all the tips you can to learn yourself, or whether you do invest in something like what you offer with your services. Because as business owners, we need to, you know, take control and learn the things that we need to. And if we don't have that time or energy to learn or desire to learn, then it is an opportunity to go, okay, well, hang on a minute. I need to outsource this to somebody who can, because I know that running ads can be really powerful in your business.
Oh, totally. It really, really can. And look, I always would have a call with someone to determine whether or not they're actually ready for Facebook ads. So like we would have a chat and I would make sure that all of the pieces, all of the elements are in place. And if they're not, I will tell them I am not running ads for anyone who is not ready, because they would be wasting money. They'd be disappointed. And I wouldn't enjoy it either, because I would know that they're not ready for it. So if you do get on a call with me, be prepared. I will ask for a lot of numbers.
And I think that's an important part of it too, is regardless of whether you're running ads or not, just in marketing in general, we need to know our numbers. It is so important. And the amount of people I talk to who own businesses and they are not tracking their numbers. And so I would love to know from the marketing expert you are, what numbers should we be tracking in our businesses and how often?
Well, how often? That kind of depends on what you're doing. Like if you're doing a launch, you would track the launch. Otherwise, I would probably look at it monthly. Mm-hmm. But you want to be tracking things like, okay, well, how many visitors am I getting to my pages? How it's a bit tricky, I think, in Instagram to properly track, because you can't really track who's watching your things. But have a look at some of your engagement rate. I am mostly interested in leads and people who actually take action, like the leads that take action. So you'd be looking at how many people are getting through my digital doors in a way, website visitors, landing page visitors, leads, like signing up to email lists, things like that, or getting calls. It's a lead as well if you're getting a call. And track that conversion. So like if 1,000 people land on my landing page where I give away my freebie or like my webinar or something like that, how many people are actually converting to signing up for that freebie? I'm a high achiever. I like that to be like 50%. Some industries have only like about 25% conversion, and it's just really hard to increase it. So I would say aim for like 30-40% at least, because not everyone's going to sign up. Like they're going to be people going to that page and go, no, this is not for me. They'll leave. So conversion from your landing page to lead, and then also from lead to sales is another one you want to know. Like you want to know, if you get 1,000 leads, how many are actually converting to become a paying customer? And that really depends on your business. I work a lot in the online business space with coaching, consultants, memberships, courses, and that. And it tends to be 1% to 3%. This is why knowing your numbers is so important, because when I say 1% to 3%, that is a tiny percentage. And it's pretty standard across the board. So that means you need to get in front of a lot of people. You need to get a lot of leads to then make a lot of sales. And it's not a matter of, okay, get 1,000 leads and you send them one email and you get that conversion. It doesn't work like that. Again,
if only.
I know. But yeah, you have to show up. You have to probably go on webinars, probably show up on, yeah, like a challenge, like a live event. Having a quite solid email marketing nurture sequence and sales sequence in place. Copywriting plays a really big part. So there's just so much that comes into play. Whereas if you offer a one-on-one service, it's a little bit easier because you can literally get onto a call with someone. You can say, well, book a free call with me. Still the conversion might like not be as high, but it's definitely higher than 1% to 3% because not everyone will get on a call with you, which is fine because you can only take X amount of calls and clients anyway. But yeah, the funnels are all different depending on what your business is, but the conversion rates is what you need to track. You need to really know. And some people literally, I will talk to them and they're like, I'm not getting any clients. I'm like, okay, well, how many people did you get to your website? How many? And they're like, the numbers are really low. I'm like, you've got no data to go by because the numbers are not there yet. You need volume. You really need a lot of eyeballs on what you do before you actually can convert. Like I tend to say, let your ads run till you have at least 1,000 people clicking on your ads. If you've started ads and you turned them off after 2 days because, you know, your $10 a day budget is like, then don't bother because it's going to be slow. At like a low budget, it's going to be really slow growth. But you need to know, yeah, that if you send X amount to your funnel, you're going to get this. So literally every single step, your email marketing open rates is another one that you need to track. So yeah, there's a lot of numbers to know. Does that answer it?
Yes. And I think that's having that clarity around your numbers. Like you said, it gives you insight into your business and what's happening behind the scenes. And from that knowledge, you can then go, okay, I need to reassess this because the numbers are low here, or actually the numbers are pretty good here. Like how can I, you know, boost that even further? So I think if you're running a business at the moment and you don't have clarity around your numbers, getting that clarity will make a really big difference, because from that, you'll be able to make better decisions going forward, knowing what you do in your business and what's happening. So I think that is really, really helpful. And, you know, you can hit pause on this episode and go and get those numbers right now.
Yeah, it's so important to have them. And I think people are scared of the numbers. One, because often they don't know what they mean. Like I said, they tell a story, but if you can't figure out or decipher that story. It's really like they're just numbers. They're like, I don't know what I'm looking at. So yeah, like I usually I'm like, okay, look at your numbers, but look at them in a, well, what is it telling me? Like I said, if I'm getting clicks on my landing page but people are not converting to sign up, you either have the wrong people that you're targeting or your landing page is not, it might not even be working. Like that's the other thing. Test everything on both desktop and phone. Like hop onto your own landing page on your phone to see what the experience is. How far do you have to scroll down before you get the sign up button? And like, yeah, it's just all experience. Like how easy are you making it for people to purchase from you? And I have plenty of rants about this. Make it easy. Some people make it extremely hard for you to buy from them. I have to go through 50 million hoops to get to like a checkout page. And some people don't even have a checkout page. I'm like, don't hide it. Make it easy.
That has to be a pet peeve of mine. I remember seeing something that I wanted to invest in and I went on the sales page for it. I'm not kidding. I had to keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And I was like, where is this going to end? And I got all the way down to the bottom. And it was like, it was that difficult that I literally didn't invest in it at all because I was like, you've made this so hard and now you've put me off. I don't want to invest in this now. So I think that is a golden nugget piece to take away from this episode is make it easier for your customers, make it easier for your clients so that they can invest in your services and work with you because, like you said, you don't want them to have to go through 50 hoops to get to you. So I think that is a really good thing to share and end our episode on. So for our listeners who are listening away and they're like, oh my gosh, I need help around this. Where do I even start? Where can listeners best find and connect with you?
The easiest place is to go to my website, biancamackenzie.com. And yeah, from there you can find all the other places as well. Because I have three kind of brands. So I have a podcast, The New School of Marketing. So yeah, on Facebook, I'm The New School of Marketing. But yeah, biancamackenzie.com has all of it. And for Tassie businesses, I actually have started northmarketing.com.au and it's only for Tassie businesses because it's very separate to the other work that I do. So yeah, that's where I am.
Amazing. Well, I'll pop the links to that in the show notes so you can easily click on that and go over and follow Bianca and all the incredible things that she is doing. But thank you so much for being here. I've loved chatting with you and it's always nice to get obviously another mum in business on the podcast, but also someone who's actually local and a friend. So it's been so nice chatting with you.
Thanks for having me. I love chatting. And yeah, we probably could have kept going for a long time.
Easily. I think it's a good thing we didn't do this in person because it would have been even longer. But yeah, we will wrap it up. But thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To learn more, you can go to ReneeO'Neill.com. I'm so grateful for you being here and super glad you've taken the time out for yourself to tune into today's episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to hit subscribe so you can catch the next one when it's released. Also, if you share this podcast to your Instagram stories and tag me at ReneeO'Neill, I will be sure to send you a little gift straight to your DMs as a thank you.